Me too. Sorry. It's the 5th of May, and we have a joke, a stock options joke, if you can believe it. You probably won't understand the joke, but that's okay. You'll understand it eventually. And so let's go over it. It's a Warren Buffett joke, actually. My understanding is that it's from Warren Buffett. A very exclusive party. A high-class, finely clad woman slinked up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and said, "I will do anything you want." The CEO flatly responded, "Reprice my options." Now, you don't understand the joke, but you will after we get done the next 2 days and we go through options. So would you like to have a real joke? This is the story of how Mexico was introduced to mayonnaise. See, 100 years ago, mayonnaise came from France, right? And it hadn't made it to Mexico yet. And not many people knew, but on the Titanic, the first shipment of mayonnaise was going to make it to Mexico. Have you heard this? But we all know what happened to the Titanic, right? And so now in Mexico, it's still referred to as Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo. It's a joke. Mayonnaise. That's saying no. No, come on. You gotta end. I liked it. All right. So what are options? What are these things? Have you heard about them? Have you seen an article saying, you can make a bunch of money? Not advertisements. You can be rich with options. Have you seen them? It's a lie. It's nothing but a lie. Do you like to gamble? If you like to gamble, you're going to like options. Because options are... And George keeps laughing at me. But he knows. You're learning, aren't you? Yeah. But you're doing futures, right? Are you doing options at all?
No.
Okay. No, futures are even more dangerous. Okay. Okay, the reason I'm giving you the futures handout is because on the back is the sheet that we're going to use today. The options scramble sheet. You need some extras? Okay, there they are coming. Yeah?
Can I get the other sheet?
I didn't give you the first one. Sorry about that. I walked right past you. Okay, the options are a security, folks, which means they're like stocks and bonds in that they're traded, right? But they're very different than stocks and bonds. They're very different than anything we've ever seen before. This gives the person who buys the option the right to buy or sell. There are two different types of options, which makes them even more confusing. A certain amount of an underlying financial asset at a specified price for a specified period of time. So we're going to discuss stock options, but there are options on other asset classes. But we're going to mostly just look at stock options because they're the biggest ones out there. They are not investments. They are contracts. You are making a contract with somebody else. There are two parts of the contract, the buyer and the seller. And this makes it doubly confusing because there are two different types of options, options to buy and options to sell, and there are two different persons in every option contract, the buyer of the option and the seller of the option. So you can buy an option to buy, and you can buy an option to sell. And you can sell an option to buy, and you can sell an option to sell. So, have you ever looked in a mirror and tried to cut your hair? Because you have a beard, so I try to keep it trimmed. You always go the wrong way. So it's like looking in the mirror, as we'll see. The buyer of the option gets the right to buy or to sell the financial asset at a given price for a given period of time, and the seller of the option must do the opposite. They must either buy or sell the asset according to the terms of the contract. Options contracts are part of a class of securities called derivatives. And if you remember the very first chapter, we said all you have to know is that these things are very dangerous. They derive their value from something else. And the two major forms, and there are many, our options and futures contracts. And we'll discuss futures on Thursday. I hope we'll get done options today. We'll get start options today, finish options on Thursday, and then discuss futures. Derivatives are securities that derive their value from the price behavior of another asset. Options contracts have no voting rights like stocks. They don't receive any dividends like stocks. They don't receive any interest like bonds. And they eventually disperse, disappear, expire, die. Not like a stock that can go for 150 years if the company stays around, or bonds which have a certain maturity date, and then you get your money back. Options simply disappear. They expire normally on the third Friday of every month. Now, my understanding, something like this 50 years ago would be trumpeted. You would hear all about it. I didn't notice it until I looked and said, wait a minute, why is it expiring on the third, on the fourth, or the second Friday? And I called my boss and said, hey, have any options expired? He goes, yeah. Why didn't somebody tell us that? Because nobody cares. The value comes from the fact that they allow the holder of the option to participate in the price behavior of the underlying asset. So you're holding something that is watching something else. And as that thing goes up and down, your investment goes up and down. But your investment's going to go up and down much more than that investment's going to go up and down. Until your investment, I shouldn't say your investment, your speculation, your option disappears. Options contracts are usually just referred to as options because it's hard to say options contracts three times fast. Try it. It's not easy. Options allow an investor to leverage their outlay of capital. There's that word, leverage. The ability to obtain a given equity position at a reduced capital investment, thereby magnifying our returns and magnifying our potential losses. With options, you can make the same amount of money from a stock or any other security, but we're going to mostly just look at stock options, as if you bought it for full price, but only come up with one-tenth or less than the money. Sounds too good to be true, huh? Well, it is. You are right. It is too good to be true. Much of the time, you lose your entire outlay. The option expires worthless. Now, there is a tremendous amount of controversy about how many options expire worthless, depending on how you count them. Some people say it's as high as 10%. I'm sorry, as high as 90%. And only 10% are used. Other people say it's around 50 to 60%, and then there are some people who say it's far less. The people who say it's far less are the people selling the options, making the market for options, so they want you to buy the darn things because that's the casino house. So don't listen to them. And the people saying it's 90%, they're overboard. I take the opinion, it doesn't mean I'm right because nobody really knows because everybody's bitching and moaning, that it's about 60-some percent. It's over half. And even the most reliable proponents of options will tell you it's about 50%, which means it's probably 60 or 70. But the problem is it depends on how you count them, and it gets really bizarre. They start yelling and screaming at one another. So what's the rationale? Why should you? I don't think you should. And as I said in the past, I don't know if I said it to you guys, we don't teach people about syphilis so that they'll go out and get it, right? You understand, right? Instruction about syphilis is not an instruction to acquire it. And it's the same thing true here. I apologize for having to teach you this, but they're out there, and you are going to be the expert, right? You're going to be the expert in your family and your friends, so... If nothing else, the next couple of days, I will hopefully get you to realize that you should just stay away from these things. All right? Come on, says George. Where is this? David Martin. I'll get your skin. Instead of buying the stock, buy an option to buy a stock. Or buy an option to sell a stock. If the stock goes up, your option will go up
almost always much, much faster. Stock goes up $2, your option goes up $2. But the stock costs you $20 and the option costs you 50 cents. See the difference? You can sell the option for a handsome profit. You don't have to actually exercise the option. It's a security. You can turn around and sell it. And I think that's the people who say, oh, only 10% of options actually expire worthless, because they're counting the fact that some options get sold over and over again before they actually expire. So they're double counting all the times they're copied. I don't know. They're sold. There's only one catch. Yes? I don't really understand exactly how it works, but there are. I don't want to get too involved, but you can turn around and you don't have to wait. If you bought that option, you don't have to wait until the day it expires and then cash it in and say, okay, I want to buy the stock. You can just turn around and sell the option.
And buying it doesn't start over.
Well, that's where it gets a little tricky. There are ways that you can close out the option, which actually makes the option disappear. So does that mean it expired worthless? No, somebody cashed it out. So I don't really understand all the controversy. I do my best to stay away from it. That's why I say some people say 90% of options expire. Other people say 10% of options expire. But most of the reputable sources that I've read say it's about 50-60%, which probably means it's a little bit more.
So when somebody buys,
no, they hang on to it, or maybe not. The next day, it might go up 100%. If the next day goes up 100%, they would sell it, and somebody else would take over. But there's a way you can make it disappear by canceling out to close. There's a way to close out the option, which basically makes it disappear. You can make a handsome profit if your stock that your option is tied to goes up just a little bit, and then boom. But there's only one catch. The option is going to expire in 3, 6, 9 months, and if the stock does not go up, the option will become worthless. And as we said, most people agree that most options expire worthless. There are some scenarios where options can make sense, can be worthwhile, but in my humble opinion, they are few and far between. And George is saying, oh, no, no, you're not. Okay, here's an example. You have a stock currently selling for $20, all right? Stock selling for $20. So you buy one share, $20, one share. What happens if it goes up to $30? How much did you make? $10, a tough question, folks. We'll just make sure you're still awake, right? If the investment goes up to $30, you've earned $10 on a $20 investment. That's a 50% return on your investment, right? $10 over $20. But you go online and you see that the option to buy this stock for $20 is selling for $1. The cost of a single dollar, friends. And so you buy that option. Now, what happens if the stock goes up to $30? What will happen to the option? It'll go up to about 11. You know, the market determines it, but generally it'll track the stock. It'll follow the stock. So you've earned $10 on a $1 investment. What kind of return is that? A 1,000%! And that's why you'll see these ads. You can make 1,000% on your options. Quick rundown, they're giving away free money. We'll teach you how. Only $39.95, and that's $3,995 for our 2-day surefire options trading seminar, which will make you more money than you could ever believe. And don't worry about burning that credit card, because you're going to pay off that credit card and all the other credit cards in weeks, folks. You're going to have riches beyond your... Okay, that's leverage in action. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back.
So why not just sell them when you get the profit or whatever?
You can sell it when it hits 11?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it could go up to 20. Fear and greed. Fear and greed. And greed. Okay.
So then you just pay attention to when the option is supposed to expire, whether it's 3, 6, or 9 months.
That's a good idea. Keep track of when it's going to expire. Okay. Hang on a minute, George. Well, it would be whatever the market price is, but it's going to track the stock. Depending on how much, as George said, it depends how much time we have. It's called the time premium. But if the stock started at 20, and when you bought it, the option to buy at 20, and then the stock zoomed up to 30, assuming you know there's enough time left, this thing will track it. It'll follow it and go up to 11, around 11. Are you with me? Sounds exciting. No, Chanel's going, no. Because here's what I can do, Chanel. I can buy that stock for $20. I can buy a stock that's selling for $30 for $20. I have the option. So I can go to I can turn in my option and say, okay, sell me that stock for $20, which is selling now for $30. So I can turn around and buy it for $20 and sell it for $30. Make sense? There's the greed factor. There's the me some too. But what's a more likely scenario? Do stocks normally jump 50% very quickly? No, it takes time. What if the stock stays at 20 or goes down? Your option expires worthless. Poof! At the end of the 3, 6, or 9 months. And you know how the world works, right? After the option expires, the stock that you were so sure was going to do well zooms to 40. You were absolutely right. You hit the big time. But because you bought an option that expired, you lost the ability to share in the success of the stock. Are you with me? Options have a time limit. So my advice is to forget about the options and just buy the stock. But since this is an introduction to investments class, we need to become proficient in the concepts, terms, and techniques of options. So let's get started. There are two types of options, and this is where it doubles the confusion. There is a call option and a put option, and they are mirror images of one another. So if you look at that scramble sheet I gave you, I tried to make it look like there's a mirror here through the looking glass. I don't know if I did a very good job. But on the back of the futures handout I gave you a second, this thing right here. They're mirror images of one another, folks. And therein lies a lot of confusion. Because on this Series 7, what they will do is they will ask you these questions about call and put options, and the answers... Well, there'll be one of four, is right. But the numbers, they will put the number for the call, and they'll put the number for the put. So if you do them, if you just zig when you should have zagged, there'll be an answer that looks right, and you pick it, it's the wrong one. So these things drive people insane. When I first looked at this, I was working for a brokerage firm, and I was a computer nerd at the time, and the guy I worked for, his name was Frank. And I said, well, Frank, this looks like gambling. This is gambling. He barked a lot. And he said, this is gambling. Don't do it. I said, okay. No problem. No problem. He did it. He lost a lot of money. A call option, an option to... Have you heard that term before? Yeah. Remember when we call the bonds away? It's the same idea. We're going to call the stock away from the person who sold us that option. The call option is a negotiable instrument, a security, an option, that gives the buyer of the option the right to buy the underlying security at a stated price within a certain period of time. And this example that we showed you, and almost always when people try to explain options to somebody else, they start with call options. Because call options are bullish. They want the price to go up. But there's another side of the coin. There are put options, which are options to put the stock to somebody. Remember the symbols? We called it away from us. We put it to somebody else. So the put option is an option to sell it to somebody else. And it's the mirror image of the call option, hence the confusion. Where did the terms call and put come from? How will I remember which is which? The term call comes from the idea that when you buy a call option, you get the right to call the stock away. Here's stock, come here, stock. The put option gives you, comes from the idea that, when you buy a put option, you get the right to put the stock to the seller. A call it away, come here, stock, a put, here, sucker, it's yours. Let's look at each in detail. What are the two parties of a call option? So on the handout, we're going to take a look at the two options, the two parties. So here's the call option seller. Where's the call option buyer? Okay, who's bullish? All right, George. Okay, George is. Who's bearish or neutral? Ricardo. All right. The call option buyer is the person who will do the calling away from. And I wanted to use, I forgot the red one. Dart. Okay, oh well. So green is going to be bullish and blue is going to be bearish, which is not really a good color, but oh well. So sorry about that. So the buyer of the call option, that's George, is bullish. The seller of the call option is bearish or neutral. And sometimes you will hear people in the world of investments call somebody who's not a bear, not a bull, or not a bear, you'll hear them called a chicken. You don't hear it too often, but that's what they do. Somebody who's bullish thinks the market's going to do well. Somebody who's bearish thinks the market's going to crash, and the chicken is like, I don't know. I'm in between. They have the right to call the stock away. They don't have to exercise that right. In fact, did I mention that most call options expire worthless? I think I did. Okay, no. The seller is bearish, or at least neutral. They are the ones who must sell the stock. It will be called away from them. They are legally bound to sell the stock. Now, why did they get into the act? Well, remember the buck? That's their reward. They get the dollar. No matter what happens, if the option expires, great, they're happy because they get to keep the dollar. If the option is exercised, they've got to turn around and sell that call buyer the option, the stock. The call buyer is going to exercise the option, and they've got to deliver the shares. So here's the graph. What is the call option buyer hoping for? The call option buyer is hoping that the price of the stock will go up. So where's my green? They're hoping for the price of the stock to go up. If the option buyer has a call option to buy at 20, the price goes to 30, the buyer can buy the stock for only 20 bucks. They can buy a $30 stock for $20. What a deal. The call option seller is hoping that the price will go down or at least stay the same. So they're bearish or chicken. If the stock stays around 20 or goes down, the call option buyer will not want to exercise the option and it will expire worthless and the call option seller gets to keep the price of the option. So here, finally, okay. So we got Ed and Ted, but we have, I'm sorry? They get the, no matter what happens, they get the dollar. So here is Ed, and this is George. So George, would you read your scenario? You're the call option buyer.
I pay a premium for the option. I have the right to call away the stock from the call option seller. I want the price of the stock to go up. If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose the premium I paid.
You're not be on the stage, George. You have to reject from your diagram. Okay? He's bullish. He pays a premium for the option, the price of the option, and he has the right to call the stock away from the call option seller. He wants the price to go up, and if it does, he can make a lot of money. And if it doesn't, oh well, he loses the premium. All right, so now who's my chicken? Who's my bear?
I'm bearish or neutral. I receive the premium for the option, the price of the option. I must deliver the stock.
want the price of the stock to go down or stay the same. If it does, I get to keep the call option. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I'm naked.
What? What was that last thing?
I could lose a lot of money if I'm naked.
If he's naked. Uncovered. In other words, if he sells this option and the stock goes up to 30, what does he have to do? He's got to go out and buy the stock at 30 and turn it around and sell it to George at 20. You see what's going on? So he wants to cover himself. How can he do that? How can he not be naked? He has the shares. If he has the shares of the stock, then he doesn't have to go out and buy them at 30. He can just deliver them to George. You see what happened? So he's not out. He doesn't have to go out and buy the $30 stock. He already owns it. Now what has he lost? He's lost the opportunity to sell his $30 stock at 30. He's got to sell it at 20. So he's lost what's called opportunity cost. But he didn't have to go out and buy the shares at 30 and turn around and sell them at 20. Maybe he bought them at 10. Are you with me? So that's called a covered call. And that is the only option transaction that is allowed in an IRA. All other options transactions are prohibited from IRAs. Because the Congress says, all right, I can see, it makes a little bit of sense. You're trying to juice the return from stocks that you already own. But you could wind up losing opportunity costs, but you won't lose money out of your pocket. You're not going to have to go out and buy the shares at 30 and sell them at 20. Make sense? That's the only transaction that's allowed. Yes? Oh, yeah. As many contracts as people will sign. Oh, the shares. No, if it's a covered call, you have to own the shares. So you can only make as many, you can only sell as many options to buy, call options, as you have shares. That's it. They will not let you. And we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but you can, options only come in 100 round lots. You can't buy an option to buy one stock or 10 stocks, or it has to be 100. Every contract is 100 shares. That's why, hold it up again, Ricardo. It says 100 shares of stock. If you had two options, that'd be 200. Three options, 300. So we get a little ahead of ourselves. But did it make sense? So this guy says, I'm bullish. He pays a buck to this guy. And this guy says, I'm bearish. I'm chicken. I don't think the price is going to go up. If the price goes up, oh well. But if the price goes down or stays the same, he gets to keep the buck. Either way, he gets to keep the dollar. But if the price goes up, he's out a lot of money if he's naked. If he's uncovered, he's got to go out and buy the stock at a high price, sell it for a low price. But if he's covered, he just delivers the shares. He loses the shares. Make sense? Okay, now it's going to get more complicated. Because now we're going to do the other side. Because it's a mirror, folks. The other side is exactly the opposite. The put option buyer is bearish. Here's the buyer. I'm sorry, I should have put the word buyer. And here's the seller. Here's the buyer. And here's the seller. So the buyer of the option is expecting the price to go down. They're betting the price will go down. The put option seller is bullish or neutral. He's a chicken. Or she's a chicken. The put option buyer is the person who will do the putting to. They will sell the shares to the seller. They buy the right to put the stock, sell it to the put option seller. Again, they don't have to exercise this option. They don't have to keep it. They can turn around and sell it. The seller of the put options contract is also called the writer. Oops, wrong color. Sorry. I forgot to tell you that in the last one. This is where it makes it even more complicated. They also call them the seller writer and the seller maker. The option writer, the option maker, the option seller, they are all the same person. And the put option seller is the person who must turn around and buy the stock. It's going to be put to them. The put option seller is legally bound to buy the stock from this put option buyer, but in any case, they get to keep the premium. They get to keep the price of the option. That's their money, no matter what happens. So, again, what are they hoping for? The put option buyer is hoping that the price will go down, because if the price goes down to $10, they can sell a $10 stock for $20. And that person who sold them the option has to buy the shares at $20. See, they agreed on a $20 price, but the price has gone down to $10. What if the price goes up? The buyer would not exercise the option. It doesn't make sense. If he could sell the stock at $21, why would he sell it at $20? The option would disappear. And so we had the same two people, but now they're on the other side. So who's bearish? Who's bearish? Who's my bear? How about it there, Steve? And who's my bull or chicken? Adam? Okay. So let's hear it, Steve. You're the option buyer, but it's a put option.
I'm bearish. I pay a premium for the option, the price of the option. I have a right to put the stock to the put option seller. I want the price of the stock to go down. If it does, I can make a lot of money. If it does not, I lose the premium I pay.
And then the put option seller?
I'm bullish. I receive a premium for the option, the price of the option. I must purchase the stock from the buyer if he or she sells the stock to me. I want the price of the stock to go up or stay the same. If it does, I just keep the option premium. I don't make a lot of money, but I could lose a lot of money if I make it.
There's that word again. You see what happens? He's got to cover himself. What happens if the price goes down to 10, that stock is going to be put to him at $20. So how does he cover himself? He covers himself by making sure he's got enough money to buy it at $20. That's how he covers himself. That's not allowed in an IRA. I don't know why. As long as you kept the money in the IRA and you were going to buy the stock anyway, the Congress should allow it, but they don't. That's not allowed in an IRA. A naked put is not allowed. They call it, now, even if you have enough money, they still call it naked. So there's another way to do it, is to have yet another put option on the same stock. So if somebody puts it to you, you put it to somebody else. Boy, your broker's going to love you, right? Just keep on buying and selling these things. Yes.
If the stock goes down and Ned makes a lot of money, he makes it because the contract expires.
No. He never makes a lot of money.
Isn't that what he just said?
No. He can lose a lot of money. He can make a lot of money. This guy can make a lot of money. Because if the price goes down to $10, he can turn around and sell a stock to somebody at $20, and he can turn around and buy at $10. So he can buy the stock at $10, turn around immediately and sell it for $20. Ha 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 ha.
So you're only talking about
that. Yeah, I'm talking about this guy. Him. He can cover himself by just having enough money to buy the stock, no matter what happens. Or he can turn around and buy a put, his own put, that just moves it down the line. Says, okay, you put it to me, I'll put it to him. Your brokers love that when people do that. Cover their puts with other puts. Why? Because they get a commission every time you buy and sell an option. It's not stupid. All right. Time for questions. Options are confusing, aren't they? They are. They are one of the hardest parts of the Series 7. And I warn people taking the Series 7, make sure you know those options. And on the back page of the first handout I gave you are some of the questions you would see on the... We won't do them today, and we might not do them on Thursday. But they're not going to be on the final. Don't worry. They're not going to be on the final, but they are on the Series 7, and they drive people absolutely insane. Options sound like gambling. Am I right? George, am I right? Yes, thank you. Options are a form of gambling. It is a zero-sum game because somebody wins and somebody loses. And the brokers are always making their commission. That's not true with stocks. People say stocks are a zero-sum game. No, that's not true. The pie can get larger. The economy can grow. Companies can grow. More people can have better wages and salaries and invest and consume, have a car, have a house, whatever, but not options. And I had a family acquaintance who loved to gamble, by the way, who called me and said, "Hey, Frank, I hear you can make a lot of money investing in options." I said, "Wait a minute. Yes, you can make a lot of money. You can also lose a lot of money. But you can't invest in options. You can speculate in options, but you can't invest in something that has a 60% chance of becoming worthless in 3 months. Is that an investment?" Go back to the very first slide. Do you remember the definition of investment? Any vehicle that has a reasonable expectation of producing income, cash flow, or holding its value or growing, or both. Does that fit that definition? No income and does not have a very reasonable... We know it's not going to be around in 3 months. We know it's going to expire. So these are speculations. And speculations are the industry's word for gambling. But we don't use that word gambling. Oh, no, no, no. We say it's highly speculative. Okay. Let's take a look at some of the options attributes. How are we doing for time? Not bad. Steve, what do you think of this, by the way? Any comments? People get really quiet when you do this. What, George? Here's our veteran here. In the trenches. Tell us what you think of these things. And even if you did know what you're doing, that's the thing. People say, you really got to know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm losing my money. When you go to Vegas, do you know what you're doing? Yes, you're losing your money. I mean, they don't make any bones about it. You think they build those millions, billion-dollar casinos with having bake sales? Because?
You can make a lot of money.
Because overnight, you can get 100% up. Right. But then the next day, 100% down. Okay. Because all the stock... Well, but you still lost. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, oh, I didn't lose much. I only went to Vegas and lost $200. See, because what happens if it goes up just a dollar? If it just goes up... Would I give you somebody? Wrong persons? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. If it just goes up a buck, did I give you the wrong persons?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I swapped them. I apologize. If it just goes up a dollar, that dollar is going to go to $2 in one day. Do stocks go up and down a dollar in a day?
No.
Yeah, stocks go up and down a dollar every day, right? So you made 100% in one day, but what if it goes down $2 the next day? Poof! It's gone. Boy, they give you Marco. I'm getting old, folks. So, so that's why you'll hear people say, "Oh, I made 100%. But they won't tell you the next day when they lost it all, because the stock went down $2. Because you saw what happened to First Solar, right? You saw what happened to these guys. Okay, so I showed you how we did. We're a little under 5%, which is still not bad for folks. You know, you'd be happy.
Well,
we're up 7%. Okay, all right. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Should we sell in May and go away? Have you heard that saying? Sell in May and go away. All right, the strike price. That's this price right here. It's also called the exercise price. You okay? Anybody got a water bottle? I got one in my office. You okay? Okay, anybody want to my office? Oh, you got water? Okay. Her bacteria aren't bad. She got good bacteria. Okay. Thank Christina. Keep it? Oh, that's dumb. See, she doesn't want to share your bacteria. I'll share your bacteria. Okay. There are some people who say because we are so much more cleaner than we used to be, our immune systems are not as strong as they used to be. There's some truth to that. Look up hookworms. Okay, anyway. The strike price is the price that we've been fighting over here. Now, it used to be that they only did these in $2.50 increments for stocks less than 25, $5 increments, $10 increments, but the pricing is much more flexible now. There are some stocks that sell in dollar increments. So I guess there's just a whole lot more activity, so they make more increments for you to choose which strike price you want. The expiration date is the day on which it expires. And as I said, it used to be the third Friday of every month. And now you will see that there are many Fridays. It seems to be every Friday some options expire. The hour before the close of the market on a Friday is often called the witching hour, right? Because what happens is these things have to be unwound. And so people, right before they expire, they've got to do something with them, buy and sell and buy and sell. And there are stock index options and stock index futures, which we will describe later. And when all three, stock options, stock index options, stock futures, expire on the same day, it's called the triple witching hour. And if you watch the ticker, you watch the screen, that's often the last hour. It'll just start bouncing around. It'll go crazy because these things all have to be unwound. That's why they call it the witching hour. And that's why a lot of brokers leave. They just disappear. How do they expire? Well, there's American style that's popular, and then there's European style. Okay, American style says you can exercise your option anytime. European options can only be exercised on the date of expiration. Normally, if you wanted to take a profit from an option that had done well and there was significant time, as George said, just sell the option. Just turn around. It's a security. Just give it to sell to somebody else. However, you could, with an American-style option, if you really wanted the stock or really wanted to sell the stock, you wanted to buy it or sell it, depending on which option you have, you could exercise the option before the expiration date. And there are many other types of options, expiration types. So there's a Jamaican style that I thought was kind of interesting. Check that out if you are so inclined. So how do we take a look at these options? Well, Yahoo's website is just really, really become horrible. They still seem to have the best individual stock research page, but the options page, I can't trust anymore. I just can't trust it. Let's go see if we can figure it out. Let's take a look at First Solar, which is a very volatile stock. And then over here you see options. Betsy, would you hit the lights on the right-hand side down twice? So here's the options. And see, it's really bad. This is bad. So let's go use MarketWatch or Bloomberg. And I don't really like MarketWatch that much. Actually, MarketWatch is not bad for the articles. MarketWatch is the Wall Street Journal's free website. If you want to go to the Wall Street Journal, they want to charge you. And a lot of people just will not pay. So they created this free website called MarketWatch. It's not bad. It's not as good as, in my humble opinion, it's not as good as Yahoo for individual stocks. But if we take a look at First Solar, and here's their stock page, which I think, look at this guy. Where is it? Over here it is, options. So you see it. Check this out. Check it out. I don't know if you got whatever one you use. Check it out. But here, their options I think are actually a bit better, because what they do is they put the calls and the puts side by side, which is kind of cool. But look at this. This is bad data. This is not good data. What the hell is this? It's just getting. I guess they're going to say you got to pay out, sucker. But this is not good. Let's go look. See, this is May. So let's hide May, and let's go take a look at July. Here we go, July. Okay, that's a little bit better. Not the best. How about June? That's not good at all. Hide June. So what they're showing us, all right, are the call options on the left side and the put options on the right side. And this is called the options chain. So right now the stock is selling for about $57, right? If I wanted to buy an option to buy at $55, I would have to pay the seller $4.75. I would have to pay the seller $4.75 for the option to buy at 55. If I wanted to buy at 57.50, I'd have to pay $3.65. $60, $2.53. $1.69. Now this option has value in that the stock is selling for more than what the strike price is. We call that in the money, as we'll see. These options are out of the money. If you had the option, if you had bought this option to sell at $57.50, but the stock was selling at $57, would you exercise your option? Would you buy a stock at $57.50 that you could buy at $57? No. So if that stock were to expire today, which it's not going to expire until July, if that stock were to expire today, it would be worthless because the person who owned it would not bother to exercise it. So these people are speculating that over the next, between now and July, third Friday in July, First Solar is going to go above these prices. And if it starts to climb, that amount here is going to start to climb. And they don't have to hold on to the option. They could turn around and sell the option to somebody else and be done with it. Close out the transaction, as it's often called. Make sense? This is not the best stock. We should look at, let's try somebody like Google. That's exactly who I ask you to look for. As the assignment, by the way, oh, come on.
Zero at the bottom, but it's 90 price.
Where?
At the bottom.
That just means there's nothing's happening. See this open interest? Open interest means there are a bunch of contracts out there. And there's just nobody has...
You can't buy it for nothing.
Well... There's no market. You could put a bid in there. You could say, look, I'll buy one for, as it gets higher and higher, they sell for less and less. You say, I'll buy one for 5 cents and see if anybody jumps. Or you can say, I'll sell one for 5 cents and see if somebody jumps at it. But right now, there's no open interest. So let's take a look at Apple or Google. Google. And that's probably a little, that's not even good either. Let's go to close, hide May, and let's go to July. Yeah, this is a little bit better, not much better. But you see the same situation. The stock is selling for $545.98, and there are people who are willing to buy the option to buy it $545, $540, $535 for $30, $24, $21. These are all in-the-money options. If the option were to expire today, they would exercise it because they could buy the shares at $530, turn around, sell them for $545. But these people are buying out-of-the-money options. They're buying options that are not worth anything except for the fact that they have until July for Google to go up. And if Google goes up, these options will go up, and they can turn around, sell the option, or wait and exercise the option. And as we see, as it gets farther and farther out of the money, the price goes down, and there are people paying $1 for the privilege, the right, to buy Google at $640. Is it going to go from $540 to $640 in 3 months? I don't think so. But if it does, that dollar is going to become $100. You see the potential for incredible gains? But what's more likely? That dollar just disappears. And whose pocket does it go into? Into the seller's pocket. The seller gets to keep that premium no matter what happens. But if Google went over $640, he would not be a happy person. They'd have to go up a whole lot more than $640 for him to really lose a lot of money. Because say it goes up to $650. Okay, he buys the stock at $650, turns around and sells them at $640. Oh well, he loses $10 a share. But if these people, the sellers here, if it went up to $640, they'd be in a world of hurt. because they have to turn around and sell it to somebody at $5.50 that they have to buy for $6.40. You see the potential? It is amazing. And so if you look at the bottom of the first handout, what I ask you to do, Betsy, would you hit the lights again? Because we're about ready to finish up. Do you like this stuff? I think it's fun to think about and laugh at and scare people with. But there ain't no way I'm ever going to do it, folks. If you want to do it, don't let me stop you. But no, thank you. Come on, Piana. Where are we going? Where are we going? You know, I'm not in it to lose money. I don't like losing money. I don't like it. That's what you think of people when they're buying and selling options and futures. They're watching. We're watching events in Afghanistan and watching Ebola in Africa and watching Putin and when something changes, oh, they sell and buy and sell and then you, what? No, your broker. Oh, your broker takes the advantage. You say, I want to buy a share, or I want to buy a contract. I want to sell a contract, and now it's all electronic. And you're fighting against computer programs, folks. You're fighting against high frequency trading. So no, thank you. I don't want to do. But isn't that? I think it's what a lot of people when they come to a introduction to investments class or maybe 121, and they think about investing, they think, oh, I'm going to surround myself with all these computers, and I'm going to do. Is that what you think you're going to do? I hope not. I just hope not. Oh, man. You watch too many movies. Okay, so now, here's the assignment. The assignment is optional. You don't have to do it. And the idea is to experience the volatility. And I chose Google and Procter & Gamble. And why did I do that? Procter & Gamble been around for 140 years. Very stable. Google, much more. You saw it. You see you're going to see a much bigger premium on these guys. And yeah, no, on the back of that, on the other side, at the bottom. And so what I want you to do is check the price of an option today and then check it 1 week later. And if you want to, you can watch it throughout the day. I mean, watch it throughout the week and watch it. It'll be very, very volatile. The more volatile the stock, the more volatile the options, the higher prices the options command. So you should see that these things are incredibly volatile. You know, we're talking about going up and down 3% on our stock portfolio, but you're going to go up 100%, down 50%, down 70%, down 100%. And so check it out. It's optional. You don't have to do it. All right, so I've kept you a little bit longer. I apologize. But when we come back, we will finish up options and then take a look at futures, which although futures really are more dangerous, they do have a legitimate, realistic, useful usage in the investment world. And we will discuss those because those are actually, I think, even more interesting than options. All right, see you on Thursday, folks. All right, how's this thing doing? Is this still got juice? Cool.